to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And we'll read the first seven verses together. We do this together at this time, or at this point in the service, because I want you to keep your Bibles open, first of all, as we go through this passage. But I want to tie for the children, especially our scripture reading and the sermon together. It's my desire, maybe more frequently than I have, to preach a sermon aimed specifically at our children. And with that being said, it's applicable for all of us. But by aiming at the children, I mean in terms of, hopefully, simplicity and focus and length. This is directed to our children. And so, children, I encourage you as well to open your Bibles. Follow along as we read just the first seven verses of this very well-known passage. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Of Jesus' birthday. The day he was born, as long as we understand it, that he was born on earth. He took on human flesh. He received a body. He was invisible, but he received a body. And if we think about God coming to earth, you would think that would deserve a great ceremony. We would call it today a big birthday party. It would deserve all the extras. Maybe even an annual holiday. And gifts. And announcements. Lots of extra food. And if we would understand the whole story of Jesus' birth, some of that happens as the angels come and shepherds and wise men come. And we're told all these things so that we would understand that people responded to Jesus' birthday. But we want to look at this passage this morning, these seven verses, to understand a very basic response to Jesus' birthday. And I want us to begin by looking at just those first couple verses. What do we see in verses 1 and 2? Jesus' birth happens in a proud context. Right? It happens at the time of Caesar Augustus. Now, Caesar Augustus is the Roman emperor at the time. He's a proud man. If you see any of the coins with a picture of Caesar on it, or if you see the drawings of Caesar, he's the perfect Roman soldier. He's strong, he's tall, and he has fancy clothes on. Silk garments that are flowing, and On top of that, it's like armor, usually. And it's colorful. He has it to make a statement. This is me. I am Caesar. I'm the top soldier. And if you would look at where Caesar lived in Rome, he lived in a fancy painted palace. It was ivory, granite, lots of stone, painted scenes that told everybody who came into his house he was Caesar. He was a big, important person. And Caesar was also known as a proud man as he traveled the world, because he went to all kinds of places, and everywhere he went, it's like, oh, Caesar's here, we need to have another ceremony. And Caesar would be led into town, and there would be pomp and circumstance. There would be parades and horses. So we could say Caesar was proud and Caesar was powerful. And we see that also in verse 1, because what does Caesar say? In his pride, he says, my whole empire has to go and be registered. I need to know how many people I have here and who they are. And they need to pay taxes along the way. So we read that Caesar sent this order that the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. That's like the premier of the province where, closer to where Jesus was Quirinius. But this was happening because Caesar said it needed to happen. And he was so powerful that whatever he said happened. And so, verse 3, all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And the everyone includes Joseph and Mary. We read that next. Joseph went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now just think about that context. Here's Jesus' birthday. And it's happening at the time of Caesar, who's this proud and powerful man. And if we understand who Jesus was as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we would say Jesus deserves a bigger birthday than Caesar could have had. But Caesar's normal life was already so great. And we would feel, I think sometimes some of us would want the sense of competition. Jesus needs to be bigger than Caesar, greater than Caesar. And our response would be, let's make it as big as we can. Jesus' birthday needs to be as big as we can make it. But that's not the response that we get in this passage. But there's something else that's happening here. If we look at verse 4 again, right? Joseph goes from Galilee, he goes up into Bethlehem because he is of the house and lineage of David. Now, lineage just means family tree. Joseph's family tree was the family tree of King David. And if you think back to the sermons in the last couple weeks, his family tree went back to King David and back to Ruth and Naomi. So Jesus is born in this family tree, and if you think of what we considered from Ruth, it's the family tree of the Redeemer. It's the family tree that's going to bring joy and healing. And Jesus is of this family tree. And we might think if it's Jesus' birthday and he's of this family tree, then certainly that deserves great recognition. And then, he's not just of the lineage, he's of the house of David. Right? Think back to last week. What's the house of David all about? Remember, it's God coming to David and saying, I will build you a house. It's going to be your palace, your throne, your kingdom, your eternal power. It will last forever. And Jesus is born in Bethlehem because he's of the house of David. And again, it's a palace and it's a throne and it's an eternal kingdom. And we would think, that's great. And our response would be, yes, let's clap our hands and celebrate because here's another king. But what do we read? Verse 6. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for Mary to deliver this baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And you might think immediately of what Luke says in chapter 1, or the angel Gabriel said to Mary, and Luke records in chapter 1. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And that might even be more exciting, because here's the Son of David who is going to be great. And we should celebrate the great king. But is celebration that what happens? You see, Jesus' birthday begins not with celebration, not with competition, but Jesus' birthday begins with very humble beginnings. Look at verse 7. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. Jesus' clothes were literally strips of cloth, rags. And Mary gave birth to this little boy and wrapped him in rags. And then she laid him in a manger. A manger is just a food trough. It's the same place where animals stuck their snouts and used their tongues to lick up all the grain and mess that was there. And Jesus wrapped this little baby in rags and placed him in the food trough. There's no palace here. Right? The food trough could have been outdoors. We don't know. Could have been in a cave. It could have been in one of those poor family dwellings where everything's under one roof. The family kitchen and the family sleeping area and the animals. And their eating area. But Jesus is just laid in this manger. And there's no room for him in the inn. Right? He has no worldwide reception. There's no one saying, please come into our country. We'll let you speak to Congress. No, it's just the inn's full. You're not wanted here. You'll be too noisy. You're just a little baby. And you see, instead of all the celebration and all the glory that should come when Jesus is born. Jesus is born in very humble beginnings. And it should raise the question in your minds, why does the King of Heaven come to earth and then begin in such a humble place? Well, children, it's so that you would know what Jesus is not about. Jesus is not about a political kingdom. He doesn't want to be Caesar Augustus. He doesn't want to come into town with parades and horses and flags and celebrations. And it's not earthly either. It's not like King David's kingdom in Israel. He doesn't want a piece of geography. He comes because he wants hearts. And he comes in a humble beginning so that you would know what you need to focus on this Christmas. Jesus came down from heaven, from glory. He had all the glory there. But he came down from that glory into time, onto earth, surrounded by sin. He took on a body, and he was wrapped in rags, and he was placed in a manger so that you would know he came down for a purpose. And the purpose was to serve and to save. It's the very simple gospel in a picture, isn't it? Jesus Christ came down onto earth with very humble beginnings so that you would know today. He didn't come for the celebrations, and he didn't come for the competition. He came to save. And who did he come to save? Everybody. All. And by that I mean, not just some people who could compete with Caesar or would be at the high ranks of society. Not just some people who were good people but needed more accountability. He didn't just come to save old people who are about to die. He didn't come to save David's kingdom so that there would be a good king in Jerusalem again. He didn't just come to save the sick who needed healing. He came to save sinners. And why did he come born, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, as an infant, 1 hour old, 1 day old, so that you would know there is a Savior for everybody, no matter how young you are? Jesus was born to save. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or 16 or 12 or 8 or 7 or 6 or 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 or 1 or you haven't even had your first birthday yet. Jesus was born as a baby so that you would know he came to save people just like you. He came as a baby so he would grow up on earth. So that you would know, no matter how old or how young you are, Jesus was my age once. Jesus was 5 once. Jesus was 13 once. And he was born in such humble beginnings so that you would know he didn't have a bar of, this is my standard for what it means to be a person who's 13. No, he could come and say, I was the lowest of the low. Do you know what? As Jesus was born in those humble surroundings, he was born an infant in all these humble surroundings so that he could condemn sin. He never sinned as a toddler or as a school-aged child. He never complained about his breakfast. He never grumbled about chores. He never hated his father for bringing him to this stable, this manger. He never asked for better clothes or better shoes like his friends. He never coveted the toys that his neighbors had. He went through all these ages perfect. Why? So you could be forgiven of all your complaining. Right? So that you, no matter how young you are or how old you are, you can go to God and ask him to forgive you of all the negative thoughts that you've had and ask him to see you like he sees Jesus Christ, someone who's humble, someone who slept in a food trough, someone who was turned away from the hostels, someone who lived with his parents quietly, someone who ate food with gratitude, content with what I was given. Someone who didn't need gifts in order to be happy. See, Jesus was born in humble circumstance so that he could forgive you of all the times that you've complained. But then he's also born in humble circumstance so that God can give the gift of Jesus Christ, a humble heart, to you, no matter how young or old you are. Right? Because forgiveness is, Jesus came to save, and part of that is forgiveness of sins. But part of the saving is also giving the new heart, the humble heart that you need. Jesus was born in humble circumstance so that he can be your glorious Redeemer. And then, like was promised, he will bring joy and healing. And if Jesus had never been born in Bethlehem and wrapped with these rags and placed in a manger and rejected by the innkeeper, and if God had never revealed that to us, you could have thought, well, Jesus came and he had it made. And he only began to serve as an adult or as a preacher and a healer. But no, Jesus came with nothing, and he began with nothing. 0 years old. So that you could never say, well, no wonder he was perfect, he had it made. No, he didn't. He began in a humble, rough situation. You imagine if Jesus was born in Rome like Caesar? And if Jesus was born and he was clothed with silk instead of rags? And if he was sleeping in a nice oak crib with lots of pillows? And if, you know, at the doors of his bedroom there were security guards so that all the people who wanted to see him would be kept out? Yes, then you could wonder, was Jesus born to save? Or maybe he's only born to save certain people. But you see, none of that's true. None of that happened. Jesus was born to save from the day he was born. And he grows up, yes, and he doesn't begin his ministry right away, but he comes and he says to children, look to me and be saved. Let the children come to me. And even says to those who are proud, you need to become like a child if you want to enter the kingdom. And you see, this is the whole picture then, this morning, that I want to leave with you. Jesus was in glory, and he came to earth, and he was born in a humble situation so that you would never have an excuse and say, well, Jesus had so much more. Jesus doesn't understand where I'm at. No, you look at the Son of God coming to earth, and you need to learn to say, wow. Not wow because it's something great. Not wow because it's something new or flashy. Not wow because, oh, this is an idol to so many people and I'm impressed because I saw him now. No wow. Because the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ, who is God, came down, took on human form, was wrapped in rags, laid in a manger, so that sinners as young as babies can be saved. And then Christmas comes to you today. God comes to you today and says you can be saved. And that should just leave you with this. Amazement. Awe. Why would he do that? Because that's his heart. He came to save sinners, people, just like you. Let's pray.